gonna start a spiritual riot with me. Hallelujah! Glory to God! Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord. Yes, 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 yes! Yes! I was glad when they said unto me, hallelujah! You can't get this at home. You can't get this at home. Touch your neighbor and say, I'm glad you're here. Touch your other neighbor and say, I need you here. Come on, touch somebody else and say, I need you here. Amen? I know. During the pandemic, them 12 o'clock online services was like, they good. What? And slowly, because your habits have fruit. Every habit has a fruit. And soon, I was on time for the online service. But then I began to say, I'll watch online service at 2 o'clock. I gotta get to breakfast. Then I was watching in the evening. Oh, it's Elder Glenn now. I'm Tom. Can I be on? Can we be transparent here? You could have stayed home if I'm a lot of you now. Next thing I know, I'm watching Sunday service on Tuesday. Your habits have fruit. Amen? We're going to get the word today. Amen? Before y'all sit down, y'all help me honor the shepherd and the first lady of this house. Amen? I'm going to tell y'all right now, this ain't pastoring. This is not pastoring. Let me say it again. This is not pastoring. The office of a pastor, of a servant, is unique. It is not personality driven. It is not. I don't care where you go. And I'm not saying anybody else's personality. I'm telling you, the office of the pastorship is not personality driven. It is servant driven. It is servant driven. Y'all understand what I'm saying? What you're seeing right now, oh, Pastor, I might get in trouble for this. What you're seeing right now is not a continuation of kingdom life. This is a new thing. This is a new thing. This is a new thing. Touch your neighbor and say, shift! Glory to God! Woo! Y'all better buckle up this morning. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Woo! Pastor spoke. I'm going to let y'all sit down in a second. Pastor spoke last few Sundays about shift. The shift, peace, noise. The end of the shift. End of my shift. His shift. He covered my shift. Luke 18:16-18. Pay attention. You know, I'm from Baltimore. For real, I'm from Baltimore. I'm actually, I came here when I was 9 from California, but I'm from Baltimore. And, you know, I'm not going to tell you how old I am, but I grew up in the early 80s. And I remember I went to a party. I was about 11. And again, I'm from the city. How many of y'all remember Lexington Terrace, Murphy Homes and all that? Y'all remember, stop fronting. I went to a party and in the body, some of y'all might have heard the story. In the bottom of the high rise, right? If y'all don't know what Lexington and Murphy Homes is, think about Good Times, Cabrini Green, right? Think about that. So just a high rise, right? Project housing. At the bottom were all of the washing machines and dryers. And I went to this party, and what they would do is they would, it was a big area, about as big as a stage, and it was just nothing but washing machines and dryers, because you would live in the building, and you'd go downstairs and wash your clothes. Y'all with me? If you with me, say amen. Amen. I promise you this will bless you, all right? I promise you. I'm going to get to the word. Calm down. I'm going to get to it. But what they would do is they would go into this place and switch out the light bulbs and put red light bulbs in there. You remember that? We was getting ready to party. And then what they would do is they would measure your waistline, and however big your waistline was, that's how much you had to pay. They call it a waistline party. Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all do, amen? It's called a waistline party. And I remember going in, and back then, you dressed because, now I'm going to talk to the fellas for a second. For the fellas, when you're young, everything was about, is it going to be girls there? How many girls going to be there? Is she coming? Is she coming? So I'm rolling up in here. I'm thinking, I wasn't going, you know, for the fella. I'm going, is it going to be girl? This is way before my wife, who I love. I'm like 12, maybe 13. Is it going to be girls there? And when you go in there, it's bumping. It's going and going. And your goal was to dance with a girl. Amen? But you got to dancing with a girl. You knew it wasn't going to be long, because if it was the wrong girl in your mind, the DJ had something he would say. He would say, switch! So you're dancing with one girl, and maybe it wasn't going right. You didn't have to worry too long, because the DJ, in a few minutes, he was going to say, switch! And then when you found the girl you were going to dance with, you would wink at the DJ and be like, don't switch, don't switch, don't switch. Don't switch, please don't switch. Don't switch, don't switch. Amen? So this is a new thing. You got to get in your life, and when you see something that ain't going right, you got to look at the devil and say, shift! Hallelujah! Look at your neighbor and say, shift! Glory to God! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Y'all have a seat. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory to God! Mm-hmm. I need y'all today. If I could title this sermon today, it's called Shift Happens. Shift Happens. Y'all say it with me, shift! Amen. Shift happens. Y'all go to my base scripture here, John 8:32, and I'm going to have y'all stand up one more time. We're going to read this word, and then I'm going to pray, and we're going to get into it. So y'all stand, please. John 8:32. John 8:32. Because I'm preaching in the vein of the house. This ain't what I thought of. I got notes to make sure that I read my lines properly, because this is not the gospel according to Glenn. Amen. It's a gospel according to the Lord Jesus Christ, but I'm in the vein of the house. I'm in order. Amen. It's not my house. I serve here. It's not my house. But it's all of our houses. Amen. All of our houses. And I would encourage you, get involved here. This stage didn't put up itself. This music didn't start itself. Somebody got here while you were contemplating coming. Somebody was already here and set the stage up. Somebody was already here and you didn't even see them. They started working on the music. While you were deciding whether you were going to stop in Dunkin' Donuts and be a little bit late, they were already here waiting for you. They were already setting everything up. Somebody was already here making sure the lights were right. Somebody was taping down the strips. Somebody was putting up the stage. It's a thankless job being a servant. It's a thankless job. So when you start saying, well, that's not right, this is not right, get involved. Make it right. Make it right. Get involved. Pastor Jeff is our leader, but he ain't, look, but it's not his church, it's our church. It's going to be what you make it. Amen? Amen? All right. John 8:32. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, John 8:32, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. One more time, say free with me. Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come before you this morning. We thank you for what you're doing, Father God. Hide me behind the cross. Hide me behind the cross. Let them only see you.
You know what the people have need of. You know what I have need of. So, Father God, we thank you right now that you already are here and you are already doing surgery on the hearts and the minds of your people. God, I thank you for those that might be contemplating coming today. Lord, pull them in the name of Jesus. Let your word do the surgery in the name of Jesus. Oh God, cut through the sinew and the bone and get to the heart of the matter. God, we give you honor, we give you praise, and we give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Y'all be seated. Amen. I am so excited to be before y'all this morning, but I'll be even more excited when this is done. Because if you've ever preached, you know that it really isn't about you. And the most important thing you want to do is give it to people how God gave it to you. You want your vessel to be clean so that there's no residue on the word from you. Amen? But I'm going to keep it simple today, and I'm going to get y'all out of here quickly. Amen? I'm going to get y'all out of here quickly. Amen? Now, the more y'all say amen, the more I can get through my stage. So, all right, I'm going to get y'all out of here quickly. Amen? We're going to get y'all out of here. So Matthew chapter 16, you're going to work the word with me today. I'm not going to tell you what I think. I'm going to tell you what's in the word. And then you're going to read it because you're not going to walk out of here going, I don't know. It's in the word. Matthew 16. So we're going to start in the very beginning. And it begins with the Pharisees requesting a sign from Jesus to prove his authority. Prove your authority. Prove who you are. We want a sign from heaven. They demanded a sign. And see, the Pharisees and the Sadducees were diametrically opposed. They were Jewish leaders, but they didn't believe the same thing. They argued amongst each other all the time. The Pharisees, they carefully followed the rules and traditions. They believed that was the way to God, by following the rules and traditions. The Sadducees only accepted the Torah. They only accepted the books of Moses, the scripture, and they did not believe in life after death. That's right. Y'all with me so far? Yes, sir. Y'all, I promise you this is going to bless you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So they did not agree on anything except for one thing, that Jesus was their enemy. That's the only thing they agreed on, that Jesus was their enemy. So often they came together. And in this time, they said, prove who you are. Jesus knew this. And at this point, Jesus had done lots of miracles. He had healed the sick, fed 5,000, fed 4. He had done all of these different things, and they still were coming to him and saying, prove who you are. Because what they were basically saying is, you're not who you are. We don't know who you are. That must have been sleight of hand. That must have been a coincidence. You didn't really feed those people. They just weren't hungry. Y'all understand what I'm saying? They were looking for some reason why God is not God. They were looking at the horoscope. They were saying, you act that way because you're a Libra. You act that way because you're a Leo. Y'all with me so far? They weren't looking at the word. They were saying something else is responsible for this activity. Amen? You're that way because that's what you identify with. Oh, I didn't step on somebody's toes now. Oh, hey, come on now. I didn't say it. It's in the word. So they're demanding Jesus proves himself. And Jesus was familiar with this. Was someone demanding that he prove himself. In the fourth chapter, Satan came to him and said, turn these stones to bread. He said, throw yourself off this cliff. See, I'm from the city. I recognize a fool. I know what it looked like, amen? I know what a fool looked like. When I was growing up, I had a guy that I knew around the way. His name was Wayne. And y'all ever know, if you know dudes from the city and everything, they always got a place where their head is busted. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You get what I'm saying? They had a head. It might have been you. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? But his head was busted in multiple spots.
And his when he would talk to you, he never opened up his mouth real wide. It was always shut. Like, what's up, man? What's going on? We're like 10 years old. But he was built like he was like 18. That was one of the first dudes I met when I got here. And he's always, he didn't intimidate me. He was a small dude, but he was built. He's like, what's up, man? What you doing? You know what I'm saying, man? But Wayne was a fool. And every time he saw me, we got to fight. It was just on sight. I had no idea what was going on. He would see me coming up the street and just start taking off his coat. I said, oh, that's a fool. That's a fool. You know how to deal with a fool, right? I put another knot on his head. But that's another thing, another story. But Jesus knew a fool when he saw one. He didn't deal with him. He said, I'm not going to support what these Pharisees are saying. I don't think he gave them the word. Just like he gave the enemy, he gave them the word. You're not going to demand from me anything. Why were the Pharisees and Sadducees demanding? Because here's the thing, here's a little tip. This is free. Whoever's asking the questions in a conversation is the leader. Whoever's asking the questions in a conversation is the leader. So what the Pharisees were trying to do is change the narrative. Y'all get what I'm saying? They were trying to change the narrative. So they were asking the questions so they could begin to lead Jesus. But Jesus recognized the fool. Amen? That's free. That has really not. Amen? So Jesus knew his audience. He wasn't going to talk to them and try to convince them. You got to stop arguing with people. Look at your neighbor and say, stop arguing with people. You know, the great author George Bernard Shaw said, never wrestle with a pig because you both get dirty and the pig loves it. Amen? Don't argue with people. Don't argue with people. Don't argue with people. Write this down. Pull your phone out. Write this down. Amen? Experience beats an argument every time. I'm going to say it again. Write it down. Experience beats an argument every time. If you're ever in court and it gets serious, guess what's going to happen? Who's your witness? Who's your witness? Who's your witness? Who was there and saw it? Experience beats an argument every time. That's why David said, let me ask y'all something. Do you like broccoli? Why? Because you tried it. You have an experience with it. It's nasty, but that's okay. All right. That's why David said, taste and see that the Lord is sweet. You got to know. I know you're like, I already know all this, Elder Glenn. I already know. I know you know. But are you acting in it? What we're talking about here is experience. It's relationship, not religion. Not religion. Not religion. Y'all understand what I'm saying here? We did that at the old church. This is how we did. This is where I sat. This is what they said. This is how we dressed. That's religion! Amen? Amen? I ain't mad at you. I'm mad at you. I'm telling you, this is relationship. It's a new thing. Touch your neighbor and say, shift! Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. So we're going to go down to, and I got notes here. I want to make sure y'all get everything God gave me. Verse 7, we're still in Matthew 16. So the disciples are arguing with each other because someone forgot to bring the bread. Jesus is right there and they're arguing. I'm in verse 7 now. Now you got to understand, the prior two miracles, Jesus fed lots of people. But here's the key. In both of those instances, the disciples started with something. They started with something. So Jesus came to them and said, you feed them. What do you have? So they already had a modicum. They had an amount of faith in the beginning. Yeah. Yeah.
so they can take what they had and they can give it to Jesus and watch Jesus bless it. But right here, they were worried that they didn't have anything and that they wouldn't eat. And they forgot they were with the bread of life already. Y'all understand what I'm saying? You don't need to come to God with anything. He's going to give you everything. The reason that you come to God with what you need, that's for you. He could have done it without the thing. You needed the thing. You didn't actually need that promotion to pay your bill. You thought you needed that promotion. All you needed was a revelation. I'm going to come back to that. Amen? If you know, you know. So the disciples are arguing. Jesus knew that they were arguing. And this time, like I said, they didn't start with anything and they're hangry. You know, a lot of bad stuff happens when you get hungry. You know what I'm saying? You got to watch yourself. Let me tell you something. I got two daughters, a son, but two daughters and a wife, and I love them all dearly. But I'm going to tell you something right now. When my wife and daughters get mad, I got to feed them. That's the secret, right? Husbands, I'm trying to tell you something. If you get in trouble, you need to find out their best restaurant. Take them there. They ain't yelling at you while they're eating their fast food. I'm trying to help you, fellas. I'm trying to help you. But the disciples were hangry. And while they were arguing about food, Jesus yells, "Watch out. Pay attention. Pay attention." Somebody say shift. Somebody say shift. Jesus knew that the shift had occurred. They're worrying about food, and Jesus is telling them, "Watch out." Touch your neighbor and say, "Pay attention." Touch your other neighbor and say, "Pay attention." You are in the middle of a shift. This is a church without walls. We are doing things in this church that churches that are 3 and 4 and 5 times this size cannot do. Amen? You are in the middle of a shift. Amen? You are in the middle of it. You're blessed. There's often times you might join a church that's already established and you don't know what it took to get to that church to that point. The blessing is in the process. The blessing is in the process. Amen? See, most of the time, we just want the end result, but we don't want the process. But God wants the process. God exists outside of time. So he was at the end and the beginning at the same time, but you weren't. You need the process. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, "God, give me the process." So Jesus says, "Watch out." He's doing a new thing. Misinformation is everywhere. Because Jesus, that's what he said, "Watch out for the false teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." Misinformation is everywhere. I learned that Pluto wasn't a planet. It's everywhere. I learned Pluto wasn't a planet. That it was a planet, it's not one now. Right? I thought quicksand was going to be a lot bigger of an issue than it really became in adult life. I really did. When I was young, I was looking for quicksand everywhere I went because I knew if I ever got caught in quicksand, I'm not getting out. I was on the lookout for banana peels because I did not want to slip. How many of y'all ever seen somebody slip on a banana peel? But I was on the lookout because I grew up thinking that if I was walking and somebody threw a banana peel, oh, I'm going to slip. Misinformation is everywhere. It's everywhere. I learned if you touched a toad, you got warts. If you went outside without a coat, you got sick. Now we know it's a virus. You can go outside as long as you want. You get sick from a virus, not from being outside without a coat. Amen? Misinformation is everywhere. Jesus said to them, "Watch out for the misinformation of false teachings." Amen? Because It's the lie you believe that hurts you, not what you don't know. Amen? I'm gonna say that again. It's the lie you believe that hurts you, not what you don't know. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, don't believe the lie. Jesus told them, watch out. So now we're in Matthew 16, verse 13. So Jesus already told them, watch out. Don't believe the lie. If you're from the 80s like me, you say, don't believe the hype. So now Jesus is in teaching mode. Verse 13, he says, who do people say that the Son of Man is? When Jesus says the Son of Man, he means the human me. Who do people say that I am? Now they are in Caesarea Philippi. Now this, it's important that you understand this because context is everything. You can't just read the Bible. You got to what? Read the Bible. Context is everything. They were going to an area, Caesarea Philippi, that was known for Greek influence. You know, the Greeks, the philosophers, and all that kind of stuff, and lots of pagan gods. So Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, who do people say that I am? And they answered him and they said, okay, well, you know, some people say you're John the Baptist. You know, because they knew that John the Baptist had actually been beheaded by Herod. No, I won't go there. But they said, some people say you're John. Some people say you're, basically, some people say you're a prophet. Some people say you're a rabbit's foot. Some people say that I can do what I want to do, but God just bless it and I'll be okay. Some people can say, God know my heart and I'll be okay. Some people can just say, well, you know what? It kind of works like this. I go to church sometime. But some people say, you understand what I'm saying? Exactly. You're no one special. You're not that different than those that came before you. That's what they're saying. Look at your neighbor and say, that's information. Because it was true. It was that's what they were saying. It's information. Look at your neighbor one more time because I'm going somewhere. That's information. Now, here's the question, though. Jesus is in teaching mode, and he says, that's a conjunction. Let me tell you something. Now, I was a journalism major in college. Whenever you see but, that means everything that came before that is negated. So if you go, you know what? I love you, but. I love you, but. You better put the dishes away next time. I'm kidding. All right. Jesus says, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? If Jesus asks you that question, what's your response? What's your response? If Jesus asks that question to your bank account, who does your bank account say that Jesus is? Who does your work situation say that Jesus is? When you're sick, do you run to Jesus or do you look in the cupboard for aspirin? I ain't nothing wrong with aspirin. I'm just saying, who is the answer for you? So Jesus asked you, what would you say? What would your response be? When the bills are due, what's your answer? So Simon Peter, who's this, you know, he's a spokesperson of the group, he looks at Jesus, he goes, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. Thou art the Christ, the Messiah, the King, Son of the living God. Tap your neighbor and say, that's revelation. The first time they got information, but this time they got what? Revelation. Amen? Somebody say shift. See, that's the shift right there. Y'all missed that. See, the shift is going from information to revelation. The shift is going from religion to relationship. The shift is going from, hallelujah! It's going from personality to servanthood. Amen? Glory to God. So Jesus looks at him and goes, oh, you preaching. You preaching. Jesus looked at him and said, oh, no, my Father revealed that to you. Uh-oh. So then he goes, oh, so my Father, okay, so let me tell you what your real name is now. your name is Peter. Cephas Peter. And on this rock, I'm getting ahead of myself. See, here's what I want to help you understand. See, Simon, that name actually means to be heard or to hear, or it means reputation. Peter, Simon means reputation. So what Jesus was saying to him is, guess what? You will no longer be known by your reputation, and you're going to now be known by your revelation. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, shift! Hallelujah. This is not the first time, though. If you look in the Gospel of John, first chapter, Jesus, as soon as he met Simon, he says, oh, your name is Cephas, your name is Peter. Your name will be Peter. It hadn't happened yet. Simon hadn't had the experience yet. So, oh yeah, you're Simon, but you will be Peter. Look at your neighbor and say, you need the experience. Get in this church and serve. If you're not committed here yet, you need the experience. If you're not sure about this church yet, you need the what? If you're here but you're not here, it's because you don't have the experience. You haven't served anyone yet. You haven't put your hand out to anyone yet. You haven't helped someone yet. You haven't given out of your own need yet. You need the what? Experience. Jesus told Simon when he first met him, your name will be Peter. But you need the experience. Amen. Now Peter's known. Now we're getting to, that was all intro. And I'm almost done here. Jesus said, now you're going to be known. But here's the revelation I want y'all to get. Thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. Whew. Pastor, I don't see how you do this every Sunday. It's hotter than fish grease up here. But it's not out there. Because when you're working, it's hot. Amen? I'm going to tell you something. Before you judge, do. Y'all got to hear me. Before you judge, do. I don't like the way they do it, then you do it. And I'm saying this because we need you. We need you. It might not be being done correctly. We need you. We need you. We need you. You need you. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm sorry. That's a sidebar. Woo. Thou art the Christ. So here's the revelation here. Now, we're about to shift here a little bit. Say shift. Thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. So now what he says, Jesus says to him is, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. You did not learn this. I'm in verse 17. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock. And upon this rock, I will build my church. That's right. What's the rock? The revelation. The revelation. Jesus said, now that you have the revelation that I am the Christ, I will build my church. Now watch this. Now watch this. Tell your neighbor, pay attention. Now he says, and all powers of hell will not prevail. Now, if you look up prevail, typically that means to conquer.
That's right.
But prevail also means to convince. So what Jesus is actually saying is, you got the revelation that I am the Christ, I am the King, Son of the living God, and the gates of hell will not convince you otherwise. Amen? And on this revelation, I will build my entire church. Amen?
Jesus got good. It got good to him. It got good to him. Because he said, you got the revelation now. Now I can start to build my church. You got this. You're starting to come. You got the experience now. You start serving now. Now we can have a church. You start saying, hey, I'm going to start where I am. I'm going to start to give. Okay, guess what? Now we got a better sound system. Okay, now we got, screens. Okay, now we got a band. Okay, now we got people coming. Now we got AC. Now we got a new building. Now we're international. Now people are getting saved all over the place. Come on now. It's about you. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. You need the experience. Yeah. The gates of hell is not about hell overcoming you. It's about hell trying to convince you that what God said to you is not the truth. So you have to look at your situation, no matter what it looks like, you got to say, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. So when you get that doctor to say, this is going to happen, you got to be able to look at that diagnosis and say, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. Oh, hallelujah. Do I have any Peters in this room today? Do I have any Peters in this room today? You got to be able to look at your situation and say, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah! Woo! Y'all sit down. But it got good to Jesus. It got good to him. He got good. He said, oh, we doing this now? You got the revelation now? Oh, now I can work with you. You went from information about the bread to now you got the revelation. Now I'm about to blow your socks off. Because then he says, right there, he's just decided, I'm going to begin to build my church because you got the revelation. Now I'm going to tell you how to work in operation. So information, revelation, operation. See, if we just talk about in this church and all we do is gyrate and get all excited and everybody fall out and all of that, but you ain't doing nothing, it don't matter. If it's just us four on this road and no more, it don't matter. If you just stay in this building and we just talk and we get good and we shake when somebody says something, but your neighbors know better, what good is it? If you're saved in here, but the people on your job would never know you're saved, what good is it? If you saved in here, but in the car, when somebody cuts you off, you not saved, what good is it? Amen? So now Jesus is saying, I'm going to give you how to operate now. Operation. So say information. Say revelation. Now say operation. And I will give you, verse 19, and I will give you the keys, what? Of the kingdom. Hey, some of y'all have heard this before. Not to the kingdom. Of the kingdom. Y'all know this. Of the kingdom. What does that mean? That whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. Jesus basically said, here's how you operate. Your words have power. Your words have power. Your words have power. It doesn't matter whether you're upset and you said that and didn't mean it. Guess what? Your words have what? It doesn't matter that you were hungry and you said that to your spouse. Guess what? Your words have what? Power. It doesn't matter that you didn't mean it. Guess what? Your words have what? Power. Your words are building blocks. They're tools. Nowhere in the Bible did you see that God came down with a hammer and a saw and started building stuff. What did he do? He spoke it. That is the keys of the kingdom. And I'm not talking about blab it and grab it. I'm not talking about that. I'm reading what God said. He said, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Speak it. He's waiting for you. Amen? Now Jesus got into the stake. Here's a sidebar. Stop talking negative. You're not being real. You're being negative. Stop talking negative. Come on. Write this down on your phone. Here's your homework. You know, Pastor Jeff gives us homework. By the way, if y'all see me limping up here,
Y'all know this man is a personal trainer. Now I go, thank you, Jordan. I work out 5, 6, 7 days, I'm working out. I thought I was in okay shape. Need to lose some pounds, but this man right here, he had me just doing something simple. And I'm telling you, I need to go somewhere and sit down. My legs are still sore. See, if you really know something, you can take something complex and make it simple. Amen? If you don't know something, you can't make it simple. You don't know it well enough. So when you're professional, I've been around trainers, and the first thing they do, take me to the weight room, and I lift a whole bunch of weights, and I feel good, they feel good. I don't know nothing. But when you're with a professional trainer, he can do this. Just do this. Put your suit on backwards. Because he's taking the complex and making it simple. So when the man of God says, love your neighbor, it seems simple, but that might put your suit on backwards because he's a professional. This isn't pastoring. This isn't pastoring. See, right now, I'm just preaching. I am not the pastor. So when the man of God says, love your neighbor, that's this right here. That's the simple exercise that will help you where you are. Amen? Stop thinking you need all of this deep stuff and everything else. Just go love your neighbor. Just do the simple stuff. Just do it. Pastor said to me, he said, Glenn, all you got to do is do this for 25 minutes every day. I said, oh, okay, cool. Because, Pastor, I'm working out for like an hour and a half. He said, Glenn, 25 minutes every day. I said, great, great. I'm working out like that. No, he said, 25 minutes every day. He didn't even listen. He just said 25 minutes every day. And I'm like, yeah, okay, because he said, 25 minutes every day. And I'm saying the same thing to you. Love somebody every day. Love somebody every day. Start with yourself. There's nothing wrong with you. Stop going to the internet. Stop putting all your information in. And them telling you if you recognize this animal first, then that means you're this. Stop all of that. There's nothing wrong with you. There's value in your experiences. Every one of them. Look at your neighbor and say, there's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. Amen. Hallelujah. So this week, here's my homework for you. And I got three more things and I'm done. Do not speak without a purpose. Only speak positive. When you leave here, if you go to a restaurant and they bring you out terrible food, I don't want you to say the food's bad. I want you to go, oh my God, somebody's about to enjoy this. It might not be you. Your spouse says something you don't like, look them in the eye and say, I just love you. I just love you. That child acting a fool, you go, oh my God, you're such an awesome person. You're so smart. You're so intelligent. You're so beautiful. See, you don't have to fight with the enemy. You confuse the enemy. That's right. Amen? That's right. This week, that's the challenge to you. Is this okay to say, Pastor? Is that all right? Yes. It's not my house. Yes. It's not my house. It's all of our houses, but I'm not the leader. So I'm not going to give charge to you for something without being in order. Pastor said it's okay to give you this homework. Yes, sir. This week, nothing negative. I don't care what it is. You're not being real. Nothing negative. I don't care if you look at something. Well, if it sound like a duck, if it quack like a duck, honey, it don't matter. Call it a chicken and keep going. Amen? Yeah. We're better together. We're better together. I need you. You need me. Look at your neighbor and say, I need you. You need me. That's the shift. That's the shift. Pastor been teaching about it for weeks. That's the shift. That I need you and you need me. That is the shift right there. That you're my neighbor. I need you. The shift is you've, watch it now, pay attention. Touch your neighbor and say, pay attention.
This is why you came, what I'm getting ready to say right now. Here's the shift. You need to physically be here in church. What are you saying? God can meet me everywhere. I know. But the shift is you need to be here. Because some of you are here, but you're not here. You get what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Some of you come every other Sunday.
Yes, sir.
I'm not chastising you. I'm telling you, be here. This is a hospital. Somebody here needs you. They may not hear it from Pastor Jeff or First Lady, but they'll hear it from you. Touch your neighbor and say, I need you. It's not optional. I have to have you here. Hebrews 10, you can look at this later because we're running short on time. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, it says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and of good works. You motivate each other to acts of love and of good works because you can't do it by yourself. That's what the church is for, to motivate you to love one another. Because if you go out here in the world, they say, cut somebody out of your life. They say, if somebody hits you, you hit them back. Jesus said, love somebody. Give to those. Turn the other cheek. You need, because I'm going to tell you right now, you hit me, I got to be in church not to hit you back. I need y'all. I need you. Well, my son, quick story, my son, who I love dearly, he's 22 years old. He was a teenager. I felt like he was a teenager for like 15 years. It was crazy. But this man of God helped me tremendously. He could get to my son, and my son wasn't a bad kid, great kid. We're just very much alike, so we were like oil and water a lot of times. A lot of times, he would say something when he was like 13, 14, and he thought that I just spoke in tongues all the time. I said, no. That now he knows that's the inoculation, so I didn't smack the fool out of you. You didn't know when I walked away and was like, because I was about to slap the fire out of you. But Elder Renee could reach him. I didn't know it at the time. Elder Renee could reach him. He kept his hand on him. Without that man, I'm not sure where my son had been. And I'm a good father. But I couldn't talk to my son at the time. I couldn't reach him. But I could bring him to church. And he would sit in the back. He would go downstairs to the old church and play basketball. And at some point, he would run into Elder Renee. Thank you, sir. Touch your neighbor and say, I need you. We need your motivation. I need your testimony. And they have conquered the devil by the blood of the Lamb and what? The word of their? I need to hear about your experiences. I need to hear about the time that bill got paid. I need to hear about that time that you overcame the devil. I don't know. I didn't know you overcame cancer. I didn't know that. I didn't know that you prayed your son out of prison. I didn't know that. I didn't know that you had a time when you had no heat and God made a way. I didn't know that. I have to know that. Touch your neighbor and say, I need you. I need you here. You can't get that on the internet. And the last thing is, I need your presence. Matthew 18:18 says, if two of you gather here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. But then the very next verse, it says, for where two or more are gathered together, there I am in the midst. See, if we agree, God will do it. But if we come together, God is there. That's why you have to be here. Because I need God's presence. Because God's presence is revelation.
You understand what I'm saying? Are y'all with me? Touch your neighbor and say, I need you here. Amen?
Y'all stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this word today. We thank you for the power of your cross. We thank you for the surgery today. We give you honor. We give you praise and we give you glory. We thank you for our leadership here, Father God. Touch Pastor Jeff and Lady A like never before. Give them courage. Let them hear from you like never before. Let them turn off the signals that they don't need to hear. Protect their children. Protect their love for each other. Protect their finances. God, we give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Keep the camera on. Keep the camera on. Come on, y'all. Put your hands together for this mighty man of God. What he just poured out. Will somebody bless? Elder Renee. Honey, come here. You sit right over there. Come on over here. Yep, you sit right over there with your husband. I want you to minister to him. Elder Renee, will you continue to minister to him, pour back into him? Get him a seat. Get her a seat while they're ministering to one another. Elder Renee, I want you to.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I thank the Lord. Over the weekend, I had to repent. I had to repent because there was a situation in my life that was going on, and I found myself talking about it, criticizing it, and not praying about it. When I got the information, God has already given me the revelation. He is the revelation. Amen. He is it. But instead of using the revelation, my operation was criticism. And God has given me the revelation to do a work. And I had to repent because I was murdering my brother and murdering my sister through criticism. It reminds me of the Muppets, where you see those old white men in the balcony criticizing. If your operation is criticism, how is the situation going to get any better when God has given you the revelation? Family, we can get so much done together if we stop criticizing one another and start building one another. That's the revelation, being the body of Christ. This house cannot stand divided, but when we're united, the devil is defeated. Yeah. Hallelujah. That's the revelation. We usually give by text to give, give real to 73256. Our platform is down. Our platform is down. So we're asking you to give this new way for today while we're working on our platform. You see how the enemy, listen, hell cannot prevail. Whatever, he can't convince you of the revelation that God has given you. So today we want you to give in your phones. Put text to give. T-E-X-T, the number 2, G-I-V-E. Text to give to the number 84321. Text to give is T-E-X-T, the number 2, G-I-V-E. Text to give, and then you're going to text that to this particular number, 84321. Will you please give to this ministry? Together, we are defeating the enemy. But the enemy wants to divide you. He wants to divide us. And we're not created to be divided. We are created to be a us, a we, an our. And as the preacher said today, as the elder said today, I need you. You need me. That sounds like an old Barney song, doesn't it? I need you. You need me. Go ahead. Hallelujah. As you're giving, I just want to pray over that gift that you're giving to the Lord. If you're somebody online, you can give online. We thank God for you tuning in today, and I know that the man of God blessed you today. Man, what a blessing he was. Would you just put your hands together one more time for the man of God, Elder Glenn James, for that wonderful treat. I thank God because when he showed us the vision of this church, the way we win is by using the body of Christ. There won't be no superstar preachers in here because the superstar is Christ. Amen. Jesus, the Christ, is the superstar. And the way we keep him that way is we use the body. So I thank God for the gifts that are in this house that this ministry needs to use, and you will be used. We need you. We want you. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you for this gift that you have enabled us to give with our heart. Whether it's a little, whether it's a lot, whether it's in between, this belongs to you. And with our whole heart, we're so excited to give it. You deserve more than what we're given, but Lord, we're grateful for where our faith is to be able to give this. We ask that you would increase our faith that will enable us to give of ourselves even the more to your ministry, to serving, so that more can get the revelation, and with revelation, then operation. Father, I pray that you would pour back into the man of God what he has given tenfold. And that those that have heard the sound of your voice through his vessel will move on the revelation that you've given today. Father, bless our giving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Don't leave yet. I want to give a quick benediction.
Back to school bash is next Sunday, so we have sign-ups in the hallway for those of you who want to volunteer, and we definitely need some volunteers.
How many of you are going to volunteer for the book bag giveaway next week? Just with a show of hands, who's going to serve next week with us with a show of hands? Listen, I want you to tell on yourself. I want to know who we got. Amen. Thank you. I want to pray over you real quick. If there's one that heard the word today that wants to renew their relationship with Jesus Christ, you've lived a life where you've had information. They lied to you and you believed it. And it's affected your operation because it produced fruit. You still praise God, but you don't understand why your life, why I'm so broke and disgusted and jacked up, because I believed information. And today, after hearing the word, I got revelation that Jesus is the Christ. It's not my money is not the Christ. My situation is not the Christ. My wife's not the Christ. My kids, my education's, oh my Lord. My degree ain't the Christ. That's information. That's responsibilities. But Jesus is the Christ. And I want to renew my relationship with him today. Will you come? Will you come? Will you come? If you're somebody that has been a member, or you think you might be a member to this church, but today you got a revelation that you're tired of being a critic, one of those old white men that's in the balcony on a Muppet Babies. I'm tired of being that. I want to get involved. I want to help. If that's you, come up. We want to pray for you. I want to renew my walk in this ministry. And that means that this church is set. Put your hands together for Jesus. There is nothing that we can't do together. As the preacher said, hallelujah, regions, international, because of your works in this ministry, because of your service. I believe it. I touch and agree. And here he is in the midst. Bow your heads with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you for what you did in this space. Lord, let this be an example. Your word permeating in our hearts and minds. Let us be your example. Your witnesses in our communities. Your witness while we're in the car with somebody flicking us off. Let us be your example while somebody is on their deathbed and all they need is a word. Let us be an example when somebody's dogging us out, talking about us. Let us be your witness. Let us be your witness, God, when we are broke and we don't know what to do, but we still have faith that you still know how to feed us when we're hungry. Father, we thank you for being our God, my God. Lord, as we leave this place, but never from your presence, may your love abide in us for always. Keep your angels wrapped around us, Lord, with their wings. May we have the knowledge that we can count on one another in need. That no one in this space will never be broke because we have a rich church. We thank you, Jesus. Oh, I got up. May we never be alone because we got one another. May we never live with doubt because we have one another. May a situation never go unsolved because we have one another. We thank you for one another. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love your neighbor. Touch your neighbor and say, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you.